And I think I'm gonna love you for a long, long time. Caught in my fears, thinking back the tears.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
Wayfarm Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Claire. I'm from Sleepy Hollow, and I'm 8 years old.
I'm Amelia. I'm from Hudson, and I'm 21.
I'm Fatia. I'm 9 years old, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
And bookish things. And we're often joined by our friend Georgia, who couldn't be here this week. But we're excited to have Claire here today for her first time on the radio. Hi. Is this your first time on the radio of all time or just on our radio show?
Probably the first time of all time, I think.
Cool. We're so honored to have you for your first radio experience.
Great.
And we're excited to hear about what kind of books you like and maybe some of your recent or favorite reads. Why don't we start? Do you want to get us started today since you're our first time special guest?
So I have this book that I always read with my mom. It's called The Burgess Animal Book for Children, and it tells you like all about different animals and stuff. And me and my mom read it every single time at bedtime, and it's sort of like, and here I'll read you a little bit of the first part of the chapter that I'm going to read with my mom tonight. Peter, have you been up in the old pasture many times? So you must have seen the sheep there, said Old Mother Nature, turning to Peter Rabbit.
Are all of the chapters with Peter Rabbit or just that one?
All of the chapters are with Peter Rabbit. So it starts out like Peter wants something fun to do. And so Mother Nature teaches him and some other people in the evening about different animals. And sometimes she calls animals over and she tells them about animals. So it's sort of like a nonfiction and fiction at the same time, because it's actually telling you real facts. Story didn't actually happen. And then I have this other book called Roller Girl. It's about this girl that does roller derby. I read it all, but it's a graphic novel about this girl who starts to do roller derby. And so she has this best friend, but she loses her best friend. And then she finds her again, and then they're friends again. I gotta find, there's gotta be, where is it? Oh my God, I can't find the last chapter. I wanna see how many chapters there are on this. Wait, I think there's 14, 15, 16, about 16 chapters, I think. Yeah, 16 chapters. And she makes a new friend, and it's sort of like what I do. I do ice skating, and I'm thinking of after I've learned a little bit of that, I could do roller skating, because ice skating and roller skating are literally like the same moves and stuff.
Cool. Yeah, different surfaces and different skates, but probably have some similar body mechanics. Thank you for sharing those books. They both sound very good and very different. I've read Roller Girl a long time ago, so I don't remember it that well, but I remember liking it a lot. And roller derby's really cool. I've never done it, but I have some friends that have done it, and I'm jealous. I'd like to try it, but I bruise too easily, and it's far away. That's cool that you ice skate. How long have you been ice skating for?
Well, I know I started it while I was 8, and I do it with my best friend every Monday when we get home from school. We just drive right to the ice rink, and then we have skating lessons, and I really like ice skating, and I'm doing ice skating camp with two of my friends at school, because two of my friends at school do it.
Sounds great. Can you tell us some of the animals that you learned about in your book that you're reading with your mom?
Oh, I learned about bears, deer, and I learned about otters. I learned about foxes, too, and skunks, cool. And bunnies and rabbits.
Sounds like a fun way to learn about animals, having like a little frame story. Well, thank you so much for sharing your book. Anyone else have any questions for Claire?
I was just going to say, it reminds me of like when I was younger, I used to be a huge fan of like books about animals and stuff like that. And I've never read that one, but I used to have this like newsletter where they'd send you like a little facts about different kinds of animals in North America. And I had a huge binder full of all the newsletters I got that I would hole punch and put them all together. So I just had this binder of animal facts. I got that for years, and this just reminded me of it, and I hadn't thought about that for the longest time, but now I'm thinking about it and wondering if I still have it.
That sounds really cool.
It was really cool. I don't think they do it anymore, but it was like a thing I used to get when I was little.
Aww.
Yeah, I love learning about animals too. I sometimes learn about them from books, and I also, there's a photographer named, I think it's pronounced Joel Sartori, I'm not sure, who's done a project called the Photo Ark, where he goes around to different museums and animal sanctuaries and takes really beautiful photographs of different animals. And then he has a book that collects them, but he also posts them online with little info about each animal. And it's just a really fun way to learn a little bit about a bunch of different animals.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cool. I hope you learn about a whole bunch of other animals in that book. And that's also fun that you get to read that with your mom. Nice to share reading experiences like that. Great.
I have something special that I want to say. It's not really about books, but it's not really
okay.
It's really little. Can I please say it?
Yeah, of course.
So it's one of my friends at school's birthday today, and his mom too.
Oh, wow. That's cute. He has the same birthday as his mom.
Mm.
That's neat. That doesn't happen that often, I don't think.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's a 1 out of 365 chance.
Yeah.
Same day. I guess it's not quite that math, but that's awesome. Happy birthday to your friend and their mom. Well, why don't we hear from Amelia next? What did you want to share today, Amelia?
I'm in a graphic novel mood because I mean, it feels like I always am, but you know what I mean. last week, a couple days ago, actually, technically, I arranged the library's new graphic novel section in the teen room, and I got to look through a ton of really cool graphic novels that I want to check out, and I've made, like, a list of them. Of course, before I checked out any of them, I read Nimona again, because that's just, I have to. I'm legally obligated to. So I read that again, reminding me how much I loved it. I put it on one of the display racks in that room because I'm biased, and even though it wasn't new, I was like, this one needs to be here. She needs to be at the top of all of them. So that was fun. I still have a bunch of Junji Ito stuff to get through because I have so much from him. But there was a comic that I cannot remember the name of, so give me a second. It was called... You just move on from me. I can figure it out. I'll come back to me later.
Okay. Well, staying on topic, I'll talk about a book that I read that's a graphic novel while you're trying to remember that. And yes, we're rearranging the teen room at the library so that the graphic novels will all be together in a section. And then we bought a bunch of new manga that we're going to be adding to that section too. So if you're a manga fan and you like teen books, come on by. But the book I'm going to share is, I would say it would be fine. It's like middle grade to YA graphic novel. It's called The Well. It's by Jake Wyatt with illustrations by Chu, and it's a fantasy story about a young girl named Li Zhen, who goes by Lizzie, who lives with her grandfather, and they raise goats, and they go to market every week. And one day she goes to market on her own because her grandfather isn't feeling very well, and she accidentally has too much fun out with her friends and loses the money that she needs to get the ferry back home, because she takes a ferry into town to go to the market. And so she remembers that there is an old wishing well that her friend had shown her and she didn't take very seriously. And she runs back to that and grabs 3 coins from the well to pay for her fare to get back home. But then that night she has a scary dream involving water, with a visit from a servant of the well who tells her that, you know, she took from them and she needs to repay them or else she'll be cursed. So she gets back to town the next day and goes to the well and tries to return 3 coins. But it turns out that does not satisfy the servant of the well or the well itself. The servant says that she can't pay them back in coins. She has to pay them back in wishes. And so for the 3 coins that she took, she has to make those wishes come true for the people that put them in the well. And they're not necessarily the easiest wishes to grant. And she has a short amount of time to do so. And so she ends up on this big adventure trying to fulfill these wishes so that she can survive. And it's really fun and exciting. I really liked the story and the characters. There's a cool goat sidekick. You would want this goat as your sidekick. It's pretty tough. And I feel like it's one of those graphic novels, which I come across these occasionally, where the artwork doesn't immediately like speak to me. Like, it's not the best artwork that I've seen, or it's not a style that really draws me in. But the story is so good that I'm won over by the end. So it's not that they're bad illustrations, it's just a different style than I'm used to or that I'm drawn to. But I thought it was really great and a lot of fun. So I would definitely suggest that to folks. So that is The Well by Jake Wyatt and Chu. And I forget where I found out about that one.
What's the name of it again?
It's called The Well.
Okay, I just need to write that down.
And it was funny reading this. I realized my childhood home, where my mom still lives, has a well, and that's how water is brought into the house. And I realized reading this book, I was like, I don't really get how wells work. So I asked my mom. And then I did some research because it felt silly that I didn't know, having like grown up having water from a well. They feel kind of like magic, even though they're science and technology. I guess the wishing part is magic. Do you ever throw coins into fountains, make a wish?
Yeah, I've done it before, I think.
So if somebody stole your wish, you'd want them to fulfill it too, probably.
And this just came to mind to me, but in like malls, there, you know how there's sometimes like water fountains? I wonder if they like clean those out, like, because like so many pennies get in them.
Yeah, I'm curious. Maybe they probably have to eventually. I wonder if they donate it somewhere.
And then they have to repay.
Yeah. I was telling my mom about this book and it reminded her of Mrs. Basil, what is it, from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler, which is a great book. But there's a part with a wishing well and change in the wishing well. So that's what it brought to mind for her. But any excuse to tell people to read that book because it's so good. Amelia, did you find
not only one, but 2 of the graphic novels I was looking at. And it turns out they're both about the ocean, which is why I couldn't figure out which one was which. The first one is called The Girl from the Sea, which is by the same author that I think made the Witch Boy series, which I haven't read yet, but this one looked very interesting. The description reads, 15-year-old Morgan has a secret. She can't wait to escape the perfect little island where she lives. She's desperate to finish high school and escape her sad divorced mom, her volatile little brother, and worst of all, her great group of friends who don't understand Morgan at all. Because really, Morgan's biggest secret is that she has a lot of secrets, including the one about wanting to kiss another girl. Then one night, Morgan is saved from drowning by a mysterious girl named Kelty. The two become friends, and suddenly life on the island doesn't seem so stifling anymore. But Kelty has some secrets of her own, and as the girls start to fall in love, everything they're trying to hide will find its way to the surface, whether Morgan is ready or not. And honestly, I think this is one that's about mermaids. It sounds like it's about mermaids. And deep down beneath the part of me that loves horror and creepy stories and everything, there is a little part of me that still loves The Little Mermaid and still loves love stories about mermaids. And that is appealing to me right now. So I want to check out that one. And then the other one that was also about the sea and actually had an art style that really, really drew me in when I saw it in the library is called The Daughters of Ys, Y-S, I think that's how it's pronounced, which is the one, because usually unique art styles are what draw me in most when it comes to manga or graphic novels in general. It's why I love Junji Ito's style. It's why I love Nimona, and this one looks very pretty as well. It has like a watercolor feel to it, which is fitting because the story is about water, which in the description of this one reads, Ys, city of wealth and wonder, has a history of dark secrets. Queen Malgvin used her magic to raise the walls that keep Ys safe from the tumultuous sea. But after the queen's inexplicable death, her daughters drift apart. Rosen, the heir to the throne, spends her time on the moors, communing with wild animals, while Dahut, the youngest, enjoys the splendors of royal life and is eager to take part in palace intrigue. When Rosen and Dahut's bond is irrevocably changed, the fate of Ys is sealed, exposing the monsters that lurk in plain view. And that one sounds darker, and it also appeals to my taste, and it looks very cool. The cover is very pretty. The art was very pretty when I looked in it in the library. And sometimes when I'm organizing stuff in the library, there's a part of me that really just wants to sit down and start reading things, but I have to resist because I have, you know, a job to do. But it's very fun. It's very fun, and I always find new things that intrigue me because, I just have to add more to my reading list. It's never big enough. But yeah, those are the two things I wanted to talk about that I'm kind of hoping to read at some point once I clear out some of my other stuff that I'm already reading.
Cool. I'm pretty sure I read The Daughters of Ys.
You know, in my head, it pronounces normally, but I cannot make the sounds of my mouth. It sounds much easier to just think the title.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have to look at the book to know for sure if I read it, but I at least intended to read it. And I want to read the Ostertag book as well, but have not read that yet. Our race to the book. Why don't we hear from Fatia now? What did you want to share today?
I wanted to share a book. It's called Spider-Man to the Rescue to Save Princess Lena.
Is this one you wrote or one that you read?
It's one that I made.
Nice. And what's it about?
It's about like Spider-Man like trying to save her sister. It's like, it's basically Spider-Man. Princess Lena is basically his sister, basically, at the end of the story.
Yeah.
Chapter 1. Once upon a time, there lived a princess named Princess Lena. She was trapped in a big, tall tower house. She was all alone. Then, one day, there was a superhero named Spider-Man. Spider-Man was coming to save Princess Lena. When Princess Lena heard that Spider-Man was going to save her, she was so happy. Then, one day, Princess Lena heard that Spider-Man was brothers with Princess Lena. She was so happy. Then, the next day, Princess Lena was still trapped in a big house. So, Spider-Man used his webs to climb to the top of the big and long house. When Spider-Man reached the top of the big, long house, Spider-Man reached the top. He hugged his sister. The end.
What inspired you to write that story?
Because me and my brother, like, we usually play like princesses and superheroes, and like me and like we're brothers and sisters. So this inspired me to write this book.
So it's like your brother is the Spider-Man and you're the princess.
Yeah.
That's nice. Did you share it with him yet?
Yeah, I did. He liked it.
Nice. Thank you for sharing your story. I know Claire also has a story that she wanted to share that she worked on. So what is your story, Claire?
So it's, there were three Billy Hippos Gruff. They wanted to get to the other side of the bridge because there were grass on the other side. And now here's a little comic. It's sort of funny. It says, okay. Hey, I'm the third one, but I'm an angel. And the other side it says, The first billy hippo went over the bridge. Trip, trap, a crocodile with cupcakes for eyes. It said, I hear a hippo, come.
And I couldn't finish it. I had to put it away by then.
Yeah, it's a cool crocodile.
Thanks.
I've never seen a crocodile with cupcake eyes.
I'm still writing it. I'm going to finish it at home. And next week, I'm going to tell you the rest of it.
Oh, hippos and crocodiles. It's different than the billy goat's gruff and the troll.
And I did that because my class, we were like learning about retellings of stories. Like they told us a few retellings of Cinderella and stuff. And a while ago, they said that we could do like our magical pet, and it didn't have to be like a real life pet. It could have like wings. It could be like Pegasus or something. And I had really fun doing that. I really, really like writing and reading.
I mostly like reading. I used to like writing a lot, but haven't done it in a while. How about you, Amelia? Do you ever write stories?
Sometimes. Yeah. A little bit.
Very cool. Before we go for the day, I thought I could mention some of the award-winning books that were announced earlier this week. Every year, the American Library Association and some of their affiliates have awards for the best children's books and illustrators and authors, as well as books for teens. And so I won't share them all because that would take a long time, but I can share some of the award winners. So one of the biggest awards is the Caldecott Award, which is for illustration. And the winning book was Doug Salati for Hot Dog. I can't remember if the award, I think it's for the book, not the illustrator, but sometimes it's one or the other. But he was the author and illustrator of this book. And it's a really cute picture book about a dog's day at the beach, basically. It's a hot summer day and the dog goes with its owner to the beach and has quite the time. And it's really cool illustrations. Very, brings the dog to life. So that was the winner of the Caldecott. And then the Newbery Award is for the writing for a book for kids. And the winner of the Newbery was a book called Free Water by Amina Lukman Dawson. And this was a debut novel. I can read the description for it. I have not read it yet. It's on my list now. Debut author Amina Lukman Dawson pens a lyrical, accessible, historical middle grade novel about two enslaved children's escape from a plantation and the many ways they find freedom. Under the cover of night, 12-year-old Homer flees Sutherland Plantation with his little sister Ada, unwillingly leaving their beloved mother behind. Much as he adores her and fears for her life, Homer knows there's no turning back, not with the overseer on their trail. Through tangled vines, secret doorways, and over a sky bridge, the two find a secret community called Freewater, deep in the swamp. In this society, created by formerly enslaved people and some freeborn children, Homer finds new friends, almost forgetting where he came from. But when he learns of a threat that could destroy Freewater, he crafts a plan to find his mother and help his new home. Deeply inspiring and loosely based on the history of maroon communities in the South, this is a striking tale of survival, adventure, friendship, and courage. That is Free Water by Amina Lukman Dawson, which won the Newbery Award. And then the book for teens is the Michael L. Prince Award. And that was a book called All My Rage by Saba Tahir. And I will read that description for you as well. Lahore, Pakistan. Then, Misbah is a dreamer and storyteller, newly married to Tufik in an arranged match. After their young life is shaken by tragedy, they come to the United States and open the Clouds Rest Inn Motel, hoping for a new start. Juniper, California. Now, Salahuddin and Noor are more than best friends. They are family. Growing up as outcasts in the small desert town of Juniper, California, they understand each other the way no one else does. Until the fight, which destroys their bond with the swift fury of a star exploding. Now Sal scrambles to run the family motel as his mother, Misbah's health,